Well, I'll say this first. A scripture that's come to my mind and a truth that's come to my mind many times recently, my mind will go to the letters to the churches in Revelation. And how does every one of them end? Let him that has ears, let the one who has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, what does that imply? Yeah, there's something deeper than just physical ears. And not everybody has the ability to hear and to understand what God is saying. And that is such a critical thing. You know, eyes and ears, we think of them in the physical sense. I can see you, I can hear you, we can interact with each other in this physical realm. But folks, we are not just physical beings. It's not just a matter of what we have in our bodies. These Paul called tents, doesn't he? A tent is a temporary dwelling. We're only here for a little while, but there's a real person on the inside that's going to stand before the Lord one day. And I'll tell you what, the ears that you and I need to have are those kind of ears and those kind of eyes. You remember Paul in his prayer, I thought about this scripture too, where Paul in his prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians wanted to see an increase in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and he wanted to see the eyes of your heart. Isn't that an interesting expression? The eyes of your heart enlightened. Oh, there are so many people that think that since God wrote his word in human language, we can just sit there with our human minds and understand it. It doesn't work. We need God to speak down into the depths of our hearts. And you know, in thinking back about that Be Ready article, one of the key illustrations that Jesus used, examples is a better word, of what the end is going to be like was what happened in Noah's day, isn't it? Not a new truth, but something that I think we can focus on, because we saw a prime example of people who went in two very, very different directions, had two very, very different ends. And what you're seeing is something that unfolded, but we see in that event, we see the culmination of that. And what we see, first of all, is a world that had reached the point where they, not only were they unwilling to hear God's word, they were unable. That's a scary thing. You know, one of the amazing things that Jesus said about what that happened and what unfolded there when the flood came, he said they didn't know. They didn't even know what was going to happen. Now think about that. Noah had been building an ark in front of them, had been preaching for however many years, and yet, when the time came, they didn't know. Do you know there's a place where people can get, and that's where this world is headed, where people have so shut their minds to the Word of God that they lose the capacity even to know what He's saying? You know, we know that the Word of God is something that the only way you can understand it is for God to shine His light in the heart. Like I say, you can't just take it and say, oh, wait, I can understand this because it's human language. The Old Testament was human language. But Jesus prayed and prayed to the Father and said, I thank you, Father, what? That you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned. Learned means they were scholars. They were people who devoted their lives to learning and thinking and studying. I'll tell you, there was nobody that was any smarter. You think about the Pharisees and the scribes and all those that devoted their lives to the study of the Word of God and the law of Moses. Oh my God, we got it, we got it. The devil was smarter than all of them. And he had no idea what was coming. God has so couched His truth that in spite of it being in human language, nobody can really understand His purposes unless He reveals it to the heart. My God, I want to have a heart that can hear, don't you? Oh, God. See, that's what's going on. And you remember how when Jesus started teaching the people and He gave them parables. Now, one of them, of course, was the parable of the four different types of soil, and it illustrates how where the Word of God comes. But his disciples asked him, said, "Why are you talking to them in parables?" And he said, "It's because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It isn't given to them." And he goes on, describes from the words of the prophets what the problem was. The problem was that they had so resisted the Word of God when it did come, that they had reached a point where it says they have closed their eyes. This isn't God just shutting them out arbitrarily. This is people who have closed their eyes to the Word of God and reached the point where they had no capacity whatever to understand what Jesus was saying. How many times did great crowds follow him? And then he would say just the right thing, and he would couch it in such language that they would say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And they, what happened? They walked no more with him. Didn't matter that he performed miracles. Man, this guy's crazy. I can't follow him. Do you know the people that, there are people that have no capacity. And there are others who just don't understand. And part of what I wanted to say today is this. That God, let me see if I can back up. I started to say that nobody naturally has the power to understand the things of God. Okay? We understand that. It's just not in our power to understand it. We have to hear God's voice. And remember the prophecy that Paul quotes in one place. And I better go ahead and turn that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe. I'm trying to quote all these, or refer to all these scriptures, and I probably need to turn to some of them so you'll know where they're at. But this is Paul talking about his ministry and how it's not designed by human wisdom, it's not with human energy. This is something that he had to present himself to God, and God gave him something that could absolutely have power in it to change people's hearts. But it wasn't something that the natural mind could understand. And he quotes down here, verse 9, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Now, most of the time, people quote that and say, oh, heaven's going to be wonderful, we can't even conceive it. Well, that's true, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the very truths of the kingdom of God and salvation, and those things that God has prepared. The human mind cannot conceive them unless God reveals it. Praise God. Said verse 14, it says, the person without the Spirit, talking about with God's Spirit, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Oh, my God, we need to hear God when he speaks, don't we? We need, if we're going to have ears to hear, that means we're going to have to listen when he says something. Praise God is a scripture that I guess I've referred to a number of times. And let's see which one is appropriate right now. How about John chapter 6? It's a wonderful promise. I think it's what I'm thinking of. And yes, John chapter 6, you remember how this is the passage where they stopped listening to him. But Jesus spoke about the fact that he says this, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. What an awesome promise. Praise God. You see the hand of God. That's where we get this saying that I think has become current among us, that God won't lose any of his own. What a promise that God has a knowledge of every person who will ever open their heart and receive his word, and God is absolutely tuned in to bring them all the way through. Folks, there's not a person here who has a heart at all toward God that needs to be afraid, as though God's going to get tired of you and throw you out. God is faithful to keep his word. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And when the Father presents someone to Jesus and say, here's someone who's put their trust in you, they've repented of their sins, they're putting their trust in you, and I'm entrusting you with their salvation, and I know you have the power and the authority to do it. All what you did on the cross is enough. The gift of the Spirit to come in and change their hearts is enough. And all the way, you're going to be praying for them. Man, God's going to bring us through, isn't he? But who is it that the Father gives? Because later on, he says, no one can come, verse 44, unless the Father who sent me draws them. So you see that the part of the process is God beginning to speak to people. It's God reaching out in some fashion to draw somebody to himself. He says, as it is written in the prophets, verse 45, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. So you see a little bit of an explanation as to what it means about the Father drawing them. It's God speaking to a heart. It's that heart opening and learning from, not just hearing that, but actually taking it in and believing it and going by that and allowing that to begin to define what their life is about. Folks, we're either going to receive what God has given to us and be part of his purpose, or we're going to perish with the world. That's where this world, this planet is coming to. And every day it gets stronger and stronger. You see the spirit of unbelief. But God wants his people to understand and to hear him and to walk with him. And you know, you see what happened in Noah's day. Now, when God said, my spirit will not always strive with men, what does that tell us? Had he just been letting men go? No, there had been an outreach. God's heart had always, in every generation, to every person, there was an outreach of God to try to bring them to a consciousness of God, their need of him, and the desire of his heart to have them walk with him as Enoch did. Enoch walked with God. He stood out from his generation. But the course of people was when God spoke, there was something in them that had control to the point where they believed and yielded to that instead of what God said. And there comes a time, this is something we've certainly said many times, there comes a time when God stops speaking to that individual heart because there's no capacity. Their heart has been sealed. There's a word that's used. I can't remember what it is exactly, but it's like you have a wound and there's a sore place and it winds up getting all covered over and there's no more sensitivity to it. Boy, the human heart, the spiritual heart, the inside heart can get that way with respect to God. And I tell you, that's, do you not see that happening in the world every day? You read the headlines, you read what's going on and what people are embracing and how they're trying to do their best to shut the word of God down. We're going to see it more and more as we go forward. God is not going to forever strive with men. You know, one of the brothers a few weeks ago quoted or referred to that scripture in Revelation. And I believe that's a prophecy, a prophetic word that will happen at the right point in history. He that is vile, let him be vile still. And I don't remember the whole scripture, but he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So God is basically saying, your condition is determined. It's over now. I'm not speaking to people anymore. I'm working with the ones that are mine, and that's how it is going forward. And, you know, I thought about this. This is not just a warning or just information to tell us what's going on in the world. I believe at this moment God still is speaking. And the question is, what do we do with it? And Jesus warned, I'm going to go over and read one of my favorite scriptures in Luke chapter 8, because Jesus tells us how this works. And basically, I'm back in 8. All right, verse 18 is the one I'm thinking of. And this is also after he'd given this particular parable about the sower. He says, therefore, consider carefully. So this is something Jesus wants us to pay close attention to. Consider carefully what? How you listen. Okay? Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they think they have will be taken from them. Boy, it's an important thing when God speaks. And what happens with human nature is that God will shine a light on areas we don't want shined on by nature. And if we're going to listen to God and hear what He has to say, we're going to have to humble ourselves to the truth. And so what I would say, what I believe the Lord would say to somebody, there may be somebody here, or there may be somebody who will hear this later, and you don't really understand what I'm talking about. There's a lack of understanding of trying to lay hold of what's he talking about? What is all this about? I don't quite get it. Well, God wants you to get it. And I would say this, if there is somebody who is in that place where they need to listen and they haven't quite arrived at that yet, my prayer is that you will, if there's a desire in you, you have every right to go to God and say, God, I don't understand, but I want to. Do you think God is going to turn somebody aside like that? One of the first things He seeks to do when He speaks to a heart is to create a need, but out of that need, what is He trying to, where's He trying to go with that? Just make us feel bad? No, He's trying to say, God's trying to say, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. There's this reaching out of the heart of God to everyone that will listen. You think about Jesus and the things that He said about the people of His day. He saw they were living in a world like ours. So many people had so shut their minds that they had no capacity. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, you stone them that I send to you. And all that he's talking about what was going to happen to them. But he also says, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens? But what was the problem? You were not willing. Oh, I'll tell you, if God is convicting, if there's a sense of need, if you see at all what we're talking about this morning, about the world coming to two different destinies, I just pray that you will so cry out to God until He hears your cry and opens your heart and gives you the light you need. I mean, you talk about the wise and the prudent not understanding. How about Saul? He studied diligently under one of the greatest, most storied teachers in Judaic history, Gamaliel. He was familiar with the Old Testament. He could quote it. He knew the Scriptures. He was zealous in what he understood for God, but he was blind as a bat. Blind as a bat. What did it take? It took God penetrating his defenses and revealing himself. And then it took Paul surrendering to that. He didn't resist and argue and come back and say, no, it's my way is right. There was a humbling and God transformed a life. God still transforms lives. Time is running out. Time is getting late. We're going to get to where the day that they went into the ark and it was over and the door was shut. That day will come. But God's heart is always for anyone that will listen. If there is the smallest desire in anybody's heart toward God, you cry out to Him and you take comfort and hope in that. You wouldn't have that if God weren't reaching. It wouldn't be there. Praise God for His mercy. And when Jesus said all those things about His generation, He wasn't mocking, He was weeping. That's God's heart. And God's heart in Noah's day was full of pain and distress at what was going on. He wasn't happy about it. He wasn't looking forward to having to judge, but what could He do? They had their opportunity. Oh, I'll tell you, God is calling His own, but He calls by speaking to the heart, and the ears of the heart need to be open. and willing to receive. And I'll tell you, wherever that happens, God will always give more. God always wants to bring his people through. And I'll tell you, when God's looking around to see who belongs to him, those are the ones he's looking for. It's not the smart, it's not the wise, it's not the great people of the world. It's sinners who need a Savior, but he's got everything we need. Everything we need to stand there one day. Everything. Oh, praise God. Well, what did Jesus say about his sheep? What do they do? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And what's the result of that? I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me, you see that dynamic going on? My Father gave them to me. He's greater than all. No one can pluck them out of his hand. Oh, I'll tell you, what a hope we have in this broken world. We see things going the wrong way. But I'll tell you, God has a people. Things were really going sideways pretty badly in Noah's day, but there was one man who walked with God. And when God spoke, he listened. That's the key to everything. It's so, the language there is so simple. God said, this is what I'm going to do, and here's what you need to do. And it just says, and he did it. You know, you think about what our place is going forward. Isn't that the essence of it? What Brother Thomas used to say all the time, seek God and do what he says. I don't have any great plan. But I'll tell you, God knows exactly what to do. And I want to drop this in because, you know, one of the ideas you will run into in many places, people will recognize the condition of Christendom and how, you know, how divided and how much error there is and all the bad stuff, bad things you can say about it. They say, but don't worry, great things are coming. Revival is coming. The church is going to wind up triumphant. We're going to take over the world. We're going to change everything. We're going to fix this world and change it into the kingdom of God. I don't find that in my Bible. Yeah, that's their concept of a triumphant church. We're not going to go out with our tail between our legs as though God just tried to convince everybody and failed to do it, and so going to take a handful and leave. No, there is a triumph that is not defined the way we tend to define it. You know, another doctrine that we used to be exposed to many, many years ago now is that manifested son doctrine. That God has a special company of people, and they're going to pass over into immortality, and they're going to go out like Jesus did, only better, I guess. They're going to empty hospitals and graveyards. They're going to just change the world, take it over. Anything short of that, we're a bunch of losers. You think God's going to go out a loser? Do you think Noah was a loser because there were only 8 of them? Was that a defeat? Or do we need to understand victory in a different way? Was he triumphant? Yes, he was. For his own salvation and the salvation of his family. You know, God has a family today, doesn't he? And I'll tell you, it got down to such simple terms that all God was looking for from Noah was to hear his voice, receive the appropriate instructions for what was going on, to do it, and then God did his part, and God rescued them. Even though everybody else thought they were crazy, undoubtedly, got to the point where they ignored them, to the point where when it happened, what's going on? I don't get this. I don't even know what's going on. The blindness of the world. Folks, we are going to reach that place where God's people will be few relative to world's population. They are now, but I mean, we're going to see it. We're going to find out. God's going to create circumstances that will deter, that will make manifest whose heart really has eyes and ears, and who's really embraced his hope from the heart. It's obvious that Noah did, because nothing stopped him. He didn't allow the unbelief of the world and what the conditions to change his course whatsoever. You know, I'll drop this in. Do you imagine the devil probably talked to him a bit? Did the Lord constantly whisper in his ear, "Don't worry, I've told you what to do." You know, was this? You know, the devil's a chatterbox. Anybody ever notice that? If he starts working, he'll chatter something over and over and over and over again, hoping it'll make a difference. God only has to speak, and if we will listen to what he says, it will make all the difference. I've told you about this in the past, but it came back to my mind, and it was the testimony of, I believe, John Bunyan, if my memory serves. I don't know how well it serves all the time, but anyway, John Bunyan had a difficult, challenging time coming to faith, and I can see God's wisdom in allowing him to go through that, because him having experienced that enabled him to help us and to help others. You know, we have to go through things to be able to help people. So here he was, trying to come to faith and just listening to God and just wanting God, and yet the devil was just beating him up about all that was wrong with him, and trying to do everything he could think of to take away his hope. And he would go days just fighting off that voice that would just ring in his ears. And then somewhere along the line, God would speak sometimes 3 or 4 or 5 words, and it was God, and he knew it. And those words would drop into his heart, and it would just blast away that darkness, and he would latch onto it. And then he would go through another season, and this went on and on until there came a time when he just understood, and he let go, and he let God do the saving. But I mean, what a pattern that is. God doesn't have to chatter in our ear. What we need to do is hear his voice and then stand on what he has said. That's what faith does. And can you not see that in Noah and his generation? There was something in him that just was fixed. He knew who God was. He knew that the only course that he could live was to do what God said. And simply, he just did it. And God allowed him to share that with his family. But you know, there were other family members that didn't partake of this. Now, you could say they were too old, I don't know, but I've often wondered why his father and grandfather were not part of this at all. You would think they would at least be encouraging him and saying, "Yeah, you're doing the right thing." They're out of the picture. Folks, we're going to have family members and loved ones that we're going to have to just put in God's hands. You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, there's peace on earth to men of goodwill, men who humble themselves to God. But Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword." And a sword sometimes divides families. Don't worry, God's going to save every one of his. And we need to pray for people. But at the same time, don't base your hope or anything on anything except you serving God and trusting him and knowing that he's going to save his. I wonder what, you know, where Lamech was in this, his father. I believe if you calculate it out, he died a couple of years or so before the flood. Methuselah, his grandfather, died the year of the flood. So, I mean, they were there basically for the whole time that Noah and his family were building the ark and preparing. It doesn't say a thing about them. They weren't involved. I wonder why. Seems like they just got swallowed up by the world too. But his family listened. And you know, we see the simplicity of them doing what God said. But I see a people that simply, God told them what to do, and they did it, but they did it together. You imagine they probably had a few words every now and then, a few conflicts, but they were human. But the bottom line was they had to work together to carry out God's instructions, and it was everything that they needed for their complete deliverance. And I believe with all my heart that God has a plan. He knows exactly what season is coming. He knows whether the power is going to be on or off. Knows everything. He knows how to bring us through. I think some of this shaking up is maybe him trying to speak to somebody. God has so many different ways of speaking. But oh, I just want to be one that hears. I want to be among a people that hear. I don't know who all is going to stand on that day. We're certainly not going to stand on our own strength. The ones who stand will be the ones who submit and say yes to Jesus. And they've put all of their hope in what God has promised. And even when the world is saying no, and we almost feel like we're a little crazy bunch of people on the sidelines, out of fellowship with the whole rest of the world, God is going to give us His strength and His peace. And He's not going to have to chatter in our ears all the time for us to have the faith to stand. And I'll tell you, that's what triumph is. God is not going to show what He has done in His people until that day when we stand in glory. You know, I've used this illustration in the past, but you think about an artist. It could be a painter, it could be a sculptor. But most of the time, you will have an artist who wants to hide whatever they're doing until it's time to unveil it. Okay? They don't unveil it until it's finished. They don't want anybody to see it until it's done. Well, do you see a parallel going on here? Do you see how the Lord is doing a work that's hidden in the heart? Jesus said the kingdom of God is not something outward. The kingdom of God is something that's inward. And right now is hidden in our flesh, but there's something going on in there. You remember how Paul talked about how the outward man was perishing? Well, what else was going on? The inward man was being renewed day by day, and so what did he focus his attention on? Oh, the outward man. No, it was all about what was going on the inside. And he saw that God was using even the stuff on the outside to change the inside, because that was the part that was going to live. God's concerned about the tent as long as we need it. Remember what the tent is. Yeah, I'm glad because my tent's getting a little frayed here and there. But God is going to take care of our tent as to the extent that we need it. But that's not what it's about. It's about the one who lives in that tent, because one day the veil will be pulled back. It's not like God's going to we're going to burst on the scene and take over the world and change it. God's going to take us out of this world, judge it. Fire will fall and burn up everything left behind. That's what the Word clearly teaches when Jesus comes. But He is going to take us, and when He does, what happens to these bodies? What happens to our bodies for those that are still here? What does He say? They're changed. How long does that take? A moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's going to be a moment in time when everything that is of this earth will absolutely dissolve and be gone, and we will have brand new bodies. And Jesus said in one of His parables that then, after the separation takes place, then his people would shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Basically, what the Lord is going to be doing is unveiling what He's been doing and showing everybody that said no, this is what I've been doing. This is what it's all about. And there's nothing left for the others. I'll tell you, it's a serious time. So it's a time of warning. It's a time when people need to make up their mind. Either I'm going to serve God 100% or I'm not. And you think about people that God speaks to, like a rich young ruler. What was his problem? He was trying to serve God in money. Jesus said, you can't do that. His God was his wealth, and he that was more important to him than eternal life. Folks, there is nothing. Zero. Nada, whatever. There's nothing more important than knowing him and having eternal life. Praise God. But oh, the promises that he has for his people. What he has to bring us through, the power, the promises that we have. We're going to go through times when the devil's going to be screaming in our ear. But how do we overcome him? The blood of the Lamb, we can always point back to that. But the other thing is the word of our testimony. What did Jesus do when the devil spoke to him? Yeah, he spoke back. And he said, this is what I'm going by. Do you think he necessarily had a feeling when he did that? Or did he just by faith say, this is my conviction. God has put this word in my heart. It's the conviction that I live by. I don't care what you say, devil. I don't care if I feel it or don't feel it. It's true. God spoke this into my heart. It's living in there, and I will stand upon that, period, come hell or high water. The testimony, the word of our testimony. See, a testimony is something that comes out of here. It's a conviction that is spoken. That's pretty central to salvation, isn't it? It's got to be a conviction of the heart, and then there's a confession that's made into salvation even. But oh, I'll tell you what, and they love not their lives so much as to shrink from death. There's nothing that we cling to here that we just won't refuse to let go of. And I tell you, I believe God is going to be with his people. But I want to have a heart. I want to have a heart that listens. The deepest conviction, the deepest need of my heart is for my need of God to speak. You know, for some people it's just correct theology. If I can just get all my doctrines all lined up exactly so, then I'm good. And there are so many people in seminaries or cemeteries, whichever they are, who think that's where it's at. Jesus said to one group of people, You study the word, but you think that in that, you study the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. But you won't come to me that you might have life. The scriptures talk about me, and you won't come to me. See, there was a perfect example of people that didn't know what the Old Testament even was about. It was all meant to point to Christ and the real kingdom. But I'll tell you, God is looking for a people right now whose hearts are toward him. And like I say, sometimes we go through times when we're, you know, the feelings aren't there. I remember David in one place says, remember, O Lord, the word upon which you've caused my spirit to hope. I'm quoting that roughly. But you remember that? How many times he goes to the word? And there were times when he didn't feel it, but he kept on looking to the word, looking to God's promise. God is going to have a people who walk together. The family built the ark together, didn't they? There was a sense of community. There was a sense of common purpose. God has told us what to do, and we're going to do it. I don't know specifically what God is going to do here. He hasn't laid out a plan and said, here's the five-year plan, just follow it. He has put us in a place where every day we're just going to have to say, Lord, lead us. Has he not promised to be in the midst of those that he brings together? That's his promise, and I'm believing it. There are many times I don't feel it, but I know he's faithful to keep his word. Praise God. He is faithful to keep his promise. And I want to be one of those that simply says, God, show us today what to do and give us the faith to do it. Because faith is not just saying, yes, I believe it, Lord. Noah could have said, yeah, I believe all that, and gone about his life. But God gave him specific instructions. Do you believe God can give us instructions according to what we need in any given instance? I want to stay tuned. I've said this in the past, I want a hearing ear. I want a heart that is so committed to listening to him and following him that he can tell us what to do. Oh, tradition will not help us. Churchianity will not help us. Form will not help us. We need Jesus in the midst. How many times we pointed out the problem with the Laodicean church? There wasn't anything he could really negatively say about them other than they were lukewarm. But the problem was Jesus was not running the program. They weren't just coming in with this sense, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we do know that you do, and we're looking to you, and we're trusting in you, and we're praising you. And when the devil says otherwise, I don't care what he says, I know what you said. I don't care if I feel it right now, I know that you're real, and I'm trusting in you. And I'll tell you, God brought that family through, did he not? Did not God do his part? That same God is with us today. Jesus said it was going to be like it was in that day. So don't get dismayed when you read the news and you see where people are going. You see the crazy stuff they believe, the stuff they stand for, and absolutely convinced. Did not God warn us through the apostle that there was going to come a time when, because people would not receive the truth, what happened? God sent strong delusion, a powerful delusion. What's a delusion? It's a delusion is a conviction about something that just doesn't happen to be true. We've got a world full of people that are more and more falling under that delusion. And of course, in the process, we can pray, God, bring it, fulfill your word. You've said you're not going to lose any. And I pray that you will bring to the faith in Jesus Christ and to fellowship with God's people, everyone that you know has a heart toward you. Oh, I'll tell you, if you have the least bit of a heart toward him, you nurture that. You look to him. You seek him. He will not turn you away. He is faithful to everyone that calls upon him. God's not looking for an excuse to get rid of people. If he were, he'd have gotten rid of me a long time ago. And every one of you too, because we're just human, aren't we? That's why we need a Savior. But oh, he is a Savior who's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God, those that call upon God and come to him by Christ. So I just praise him this morning. I don't know. Like I say, I had two senses out of this division that you can see there, and the sense that we have to have, we have eyes and ears in our heart. That number one, we need to understand the world. Number two, there may be that person who hasn't quite come through yet. You don't understand some of this. God wants you to. You have every right to call upon God from your heart and ask him. And we can pray that anybody who's in that position, God will give them an understanding that they can come to true faith and rest in Jesus Christ and know that they're his. Praise God. God's bringing people in. The door's not quite shut, but it's getting there. We're seeing where we're headed. But for all of us, God wants his people to be encouraged and to realize where we're at, to walk together, to seek his face, to do what he says when he says something to do. And God is going to bring us safely through. That's what triumph is. Triumph is standing fast in the darkness. Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. That's what God is looking for. And I'll tell you, there's something happening when we have to stand in that kind of environment and trust God and let God fight our battles and work in our hearts and change us. That's victory. That's triumph. That's what God is after, is changing and building a family that's going to live with him forever. So in one sense, I don't think there's anything new here, but I pray that whichever category you're in, if you're one of God's people, let God encourage you. Don't live by your feelings. We all do. We all fight those battles. Live by what God has made real in your heart and believe it in the darkest moment of your life, and God will give you the strength to stand, and something will happen in you. And who knows, God may be putting you through that because the day will come when you're going to be the one who's able to, that he can use to help somebody else who's in the same boat. Praise God. Doesn't God know what he's doing? He's pretty smart, isn't he? He knows exactly how to bring his people through. But I want to be that kind of a triumphant church that simply stands in the hour of darkness. Was it defeat when the Lord was allowed to kill, or the devil was allowed to kill the Lord? Was that defeat? It looked like it. He said, this is your hour when darkness reigns. And he surrendered to that, but yet God used it to bring eternal salvation to us. There's another hour coming when darkness reigns. But God is going to, the same God will bring his people through. There's not one thing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't care what it is. Oh, we're going to have to lean on those scriptures. Not just the scriptures that we can read, but the ones that God has spoken to our hearts at one time or another. We're going to have to go back to that and say, it is written. God made this real. God spoke this to my heart. So I pray that God's people will be encouraged and enlightened and have a sense of we need to be walking together. We need to be allowing God to change us to the point where we are absolutely aligned with him and with one another. And God's going to bring his people through, isn't he? So to him be the glory. Praise God.